Other horns don't.
Everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's the someplace they play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, you listen.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Don't let the guy you're playing against and make his ass quit. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Fear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to the Alabama Football Podcast, National Championship Edition pregame show. Tom, we're doing three colossal matchup shows. Let's get started with Alabama's offense against the Notre Dame defense. How do you see it when these units square off?
Man, I think the offense that Alabama's going to bring to this national championship game is very different from anything Notre Dame has seen. They have seen teams in their schedule that are really good at throwing the football or really good at running the football, but I don't think they have faced a team all year that brings the ability to do both so effectively the way Alabama is going to bring it in this ballgame.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that that's a good point. I think that we're going to bring a much more balanced attack, and that's something that they're going to have to account for. I think that all of the media and all of the hype, and this has kind of been the theme of the season, but especially coming out of that game against Georgia, is going to be our running game against their stout front seven. Tommy, I think we come out aggressively, throwing the ball down the field. I think that will be our game plan from the start, is come out and aggressively attack with the ball down the field.
You know, when we were watching some of their games this year, specifically Southern California there at the end of the season, and their inability to stop USC's wide receivers. I mean, USC only completed 14 passes, but they completed those 14 passes for almost 200 yards. And so I agree with you that I think their cornerbacks are susceptible to the big play. I mean, you've got one cornerback that is a true freshman. You've got another cornerback that is a converted wide receiver, who is also a redshirt freshman. And so you've got, you know, two new guys at corner. But then when I went back and looked at how they had played the run, I got to tell you, even how they played the run is just really not all there. You know, I didn't have the time to go back and break down how they truly get the number two ranked defense in the country, but I was not impressed even with the running game. I mean, excuse me, their run defense. I mean, just a couple examples. I mean, against Navy to start the year, they gave up 4.7. They then proceeded to go against Michigan, who we throttled. They gave up 4.7. They then gave up 4.7 even to Miami, and Miami only attempted 18 runs. And not to go through all these, I mean, then you go to the Pittsburgh game that they probably should have lost. They gave up 5.6 yards a carry to there. And so you hear about all this vaunted front seven and the goal line defense, but between the 20s, man, I think they're susceptible to the run as well.
Yeah, and that's the big thing on their defense is they get bigger in smaller spaces. And so they pretty much give away yards between the 20s. But backed up against the red zone, they are a tough unit to score against. I think if we get rolling, they'll have a harder time stopping us. I think that our ground game, we've proven it again. I think if we were to compare Notre Dame's front seven against Georgia's, I think there would be comparable. I do think that Notre Dame, they aspire to be an SEC-like defense. And I think on their front seven, I think they achieve that. I think that we can take advantage of their back end. I think McCarron is probably the second best quarterback that Notre Dame will face this season. I would probably give the nod to Landry Jones just with his experience. But he torched them for over 350 yards. I think that we attack aggressively down the field. I think we do set up the run. I think we do play action. I think we do all of those kinds of things. I think that we come out from the start. We're aggressive down the field. We go after those young corners, like you said. And they've got Mata, a safety that, in fairness, probably is Vinny-like in some of his strengths and weaknesses and opportunities.
A little bigger, yeah.
I definitely see, you know, some scrape and release with Michael Williams, and I see us being aggressive. I do say this, though, and I give a lot of credit to their linebacker. I think they're, you know, they have 300 pounders across the front, but I think the strength and the versatility, and you mentioned this, they don't deviate too much from their 3-4. They will go to a 4-3. Sometimes they'll walk up a linebacker, and so they'll kind of play like we do with a jack, And so they'll take, you know, their Prince Shimbo, number 55, he'll blitz and he'll attack the line of scrimmage. He'll come down and put his hand down, kind of Adrian Hubbard-like, a jack position. But then they'll take their other outside linebacker, Danny Spahn, and they'll play him like a spur. And he'll be a linebacker that'll shift out and cover a slot or step back in coverage. And so the sort of the nexus of their flexibility is right there in the linebacker core. And so that's where I say, you know, sure, we're going to run the ball. I think we eschew the short passing game because we don't want to get caught up in that linebacker. I mean, hell, Manti has 7 interceptions on the season. I think we kind of stay out of the traffic out of the middle of the field. And that's where I think we attack them down the field.
Well,
we either hit them in the mouth or throw over their heads.
Well, I think even if you look at their front seven, what was surprising to me when I was trying to look at, you know, the individual players is they are probably the biggest front seven we've played all year. And so when you look at those front three guys at 300 pounds, you're like, okay, that's pretty formidable. And then when you look at their linebackers, all four of their linebackers are 250 to 260. And so to me, the key is the reason their front seven has been so formidable is maybe they have not played teams with the team speed that the SEC has.
Yep.
And if you line up with seven guys that are 250 to 300, that's pretty formidable. But I think that those linebackers are going to have a hard time matching up with our receivers in the slot and our Lacy and TJ Yeldon.
No, I agree. I think they have SEC size and, you know, strength and physicality. I agree with you. I think they lack it in speed. And I think
that's where we expose that. Yeah, I think that's where we expose that.
I look for TJ to have a big day just because, you know, he's physical, not as physical as Lacy, but he has speed and he has burst. And if we get him running through the middle, you know, he kicks it in the second gear, he's going to be a tough guy for them to stop. I think Lacy, with his combination of size and speed, is probably something they've not seen a lot of. Le'Veon Bell, I had a pretty decent day against him. He was just a battering ram. I think when he lined up, everyone knew what he was going to do. And he had some success. But I think when we can be versatile and a little more dynamic and a little more varied in how we attack, I think Lacy and TJ, I think they do have big days. But, you know, I'm going to repeat myself. I think we make hay throwing over their head.
Well, I just think we're going to have a lot more success running the ball than maybe some people think. I think we're going to expose some weaknesses with that. I also think that, to your point about the corner play, I mean, the corners just are not big. And I know that Amari does not have the level of talent that the two USC receivers get just because he hasn't been around long enough, but he's a pretty good player. And I like the matchup of him jumping over the head of a 5'10" and a 6-foot cornerback.
Sure. You know, the play that he up in the air made against Georgia, I would say, look, it's only experience based that he's not in the same category as the USC receivers, but he is on that spectrum and he has the talent to be every bit as good as they are.
Hey, also, too, as far as the defense is concerned, I also just don't see a lot of depth from Notre Dame. As far as, you know, I haven't watched every game this year to see how many guys they rotate in. But when you look at the numbers, and obviously the numbers just tells one part of it, it looks to me like they have a few guys with, you know, who have played a decent amount of snaps, but they don't have nearly the depth on defense that we do, just like we saw when we played Georgia.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I think that they've kind of made hay. You know, Brian Kelly's kind of even adjusted some of his philosophy, and they've become like a 2003 SEC team where they try to shrink the game. You know, I know we're talking about their defense, but they'll try to run the ball and then play defense to kind of shrink the game. And when you do that and you have opponents that will let you do that, then you're able to minimize, you know, the number of snaps that some of your defensive folks are going to play, and you know you can manage your rotation a little bit better. I think that we're more aggressive in our rotation, you know, and that's you know, we could go on a tangent of how we're having the success that we are this year, because, you know, we're much more aggressive in our rotations. But yeah, I think that if we can keep their defense on the field some with some sustained drives, you know, kind of throw over their head, get them running around a little bit, I think that can definitely take its toll later in the game.
And it is a shame that we don't have Kenny Bell in this game, because I'm not seeing like in Georgia Dome. We're not going to see him if we didn't see him there. And just talking about this speed, I wish we had a Kenny Bell to put out there with Cooper to stretch the field in this ball game.
Yeah, I definitely agree that Black's not going to play. You know, if we were going to play him, we'd get two games out of him. So, you know,
right,
be a little more versed. And so I 100% agree with that. I'm hearing, you know, speculation that Kenny Bell could play. So I don't know, you know, kind of where that goes. I put together our sort of our matchup roster, and I included him on the roster, you know, for the on the depth chart for the bowl game, just because I think there's some speculation. And if he can just come in and run fast in a straight line, that's really all we would need from him.
No, that's fair. And one of the things is we're talking about this Notre Dame defense, and you were talking about throwing over their head. I think the other thing is, you know, you talked about Mata, but I think if you look at their other safety, Farley, who's a sophomore, he's a converted wide receiver from last year also. So I just find it interesting that you have got two converted wide receivers starting in their secondary, and the other starting cornerback was a running back in high school, and the last time he had played cornerback was as a sophomore in high school. And so some of this, as you dig in the numbers, it's like, damn, Brian's doing this with smoke and mirrors, because you got three of your starting four players who pretty much have been offensive players. And so I think AJ, the way he spreads the ball around to five or six guys, he could have a nice day.
He really could. And I'll point back to, you know, some of the teams that have really made hay throwing the ball, and, you know, Oklahoma only at 12 yards rushing. So they did all of their work passing the ball, and credit to Notre Dame defense for keeping them out of the end zone. But I think that we will have similar, maybe not 350 yards, but we will find success throwing the ball. It'll just be a function of us punching it in.
And to take nothing away from Notre Dame, because they have found a way to
Absolutely.
Win these ball games. You and I saw this Pittsburgh game and how they were able to persevere. But I guess as you go back and really look at the numbers, and I know you've referred to this as Paper Tiger, man, I mean, just look at some of these ball games. I mean, Purdue 20-17, Michigan 13-6. Michigan rushes for 200 yards and loses by 7 points because Denard Robinson throws five interceptions. They had a fumble as well. They had six turnovers on consecutive possessions, and they still only lost to Notre Dame 13-6.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That tells you something.
Yeah. Michigan should have beat them by a couple of touchdowns.
Numbers don't lie. The numbers just don't lie.
Yeah. I think that Notre Dame is, as a whole, they are better or bigger than, you know, kind of the sum of their parts. I think they have captured a little bit of magic in a bottle, and I think it really manifests itself more so on their defense than I think their offense. But they have a little bit of magic in their defense. They are able to force and create some turnovers. You know, the All America, you know, Heisman runner up at linebacker is a high character, high quality individual, and a spectacular football player as well. As a middle linebacker, you know, he's got 100 plus tackles. He's got seven interceptions. You know, he's ringing up the stat sheet, but their other linebackers play really, really well. They're flexible and versatile in what they do. They've got the three 300 pounders. I mean, they have a nice mixture of talent. The you know, a comparable, if we just wanted to compare opponents that we've placed, you know, I think their front seven is clearly, and I've said, you know, reminiscent of Georgia. In some sense, you could say they're reminiscent of LSU last year and the strength of LSU's defense. The difference is Our game plan last year in the championship game against LSU was to pass the ball. But the difference is there's no Tyrann Mathieu or Morris Claiborne or Eric Reed in that secondary for Notre Dame. And I think that's where we go to make hay. I think we exploit the fact that, look, you're good on the front, but you're only going to play four DBs, and we think we can pick on every one of them.
Yeah, but I also don't think, unlike the national championship game against LSU, we were trying to play outside the hashes. I don't think we have to be as concerned by that. I just don't think they have the speed. Do they have the size and the physicality? Yes, but I just don't think they have the speed that some SEC defenses do play.
Right.
I also want to mention, as far as the matchup goes, what do you think? Do you think that they will, for Notre Dame, do you think they'll try to mix it up and come show us something other than a 3-4? Do you think they'll try to work in a nickel or dime heavy type of formation in this ball game, or stick with what they know?
I think they'll stick with what they do. You know, like I said, they've taken the spur linebacker and they'll move him, you know, over into coverage. He'll cover slots. He'll cover tight ends, receivers out of the backfield. And so in terms of I think he's got four, you know, pass breakups. So he may be their best, you know, quote unquote nickel back. He may be their best sort of next man up to step out. And then I think they take their equivalent. I don't know what they call him necessarily in their scheme, but Shimbo is kind of their jack linebacker. And so he can step up, put a hand down on the ground. And so I think the flexibility and the looks that they give us, they do with their linebackers. It's not like us where we're going to rotate, you know, we're going to play a nickel and we're going to play dime and we're going to play a safety nickel and then we're going to move to a corner heavy dime and really play a lot of different personnel to affect different looks. I think that, again, you know, they're an SEC-like team, but it's circa, you know, mid-2000s where they're being versatile with the same people as opposed to this machine that Saban's built where we're being versatile with, you know, 17 different starters on defense.
Oh, sure. And I also think from an offensive standpoint, while I agree with you that we'll take some shots on the outside against their cornerbacks, I also think that we might see a little bit more of the pitches to Yeldon and Lacy wide. I think we might make those linebackers, you know, run down the line a good bit and try to tucker them out.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you know, we're the edges to wear them out and then, you know, kind of throw them over them. I think that I think that that's what we'll do. I think that as good as their defense is, and sort of as vaunted as their defense is, I don't think they take any one thing away from us.
Correct.
They really don't.
There's not one thing, and that's what I meant at the beginning of this segment, is that I don't think they have faced a team all season that effectively comes at them from both the running game and the passing game the way Alabama does.
Right, right. Yeah, and I stand by the fact that if I were a Notre Doter, that watching Alabama play Georgia would make me very nervous.
Oh, sure.
You know, not only did we rack up 350 on the ground against, you know, that behemoth defense and Jarvis Jones and the names in the secondary, they're going to have more, you know, NFL draft picks
on their defense this year than we will.
Yeah, than probably any team in the country. And so the fact that, you know, we were able to make that sort of hay on the ground and then come back and just – now, it was pure play action, but then to come back and just be able to unleash the ball down the field, I mean, that should make any team nervous. But when it's a mirror image of your defense that they're doing that against – I'm surprised, you know, the national media is just all over Notre Dame, and these things kind of tend to, you know, ebb and flow. And so I think, you know, after the holidays, after the first of the year, everyone will kind of come back and say, well, the Alabama team's not bad either.
Let's really look at the matchup. Right. And I think, you know, we would be remiss real quick before we flip the side of the ball here if we didn't spend a minute talking about that play action pass, because I think we just kind of talked about throwing over the top. But that's the other thing I think too is Notre Dame's front seven has not had success stopping the run. I mean, I didn't go through every game, but they were giving up over 4.5 yards a carry in 8 of their 12 ball games. And so this is a team that sets up for our play action pass.
Yeah, I think so. And I was able to watch some of their defensive snaps against Michigan State when, you know, everyone kind of knew what Michigan State was going to do. Well, they had some pretty good success with play action down the field. You know, it wasn't enough, you know, for them to win the game, and they struggled to score. And that's kind of the theme with Notre Dame opponents is, you know, teams struggle to, you know, looking at their sheet now, there's a lot of threes, a lot of sixes, one shutout. The team who scored the most against them, you know, Pittsburgh, 26 points, which is a huge number. But they, you know, they scored 26 points against this defense, you know,
They ran the ball at will.
Oh, it ran the ball at will. You know, it took them to 3 overtimes, probably should have won that game with fewer than 26 points. I just think that, yeah, we'll be able to move the ball on the ground and in the air between the 20s. I just think our team will be able to step up and not get stifled in the red zone, that we will still put up points. I think that, you know, it's one of those something's got to give, because I think Notre Dame has the best defense in the country in the red zone. But I think we're the most productive, the most efficient offense in the red zone. So something's got to give. I think that early, it may be, we may be kicking field goals, but late, I think we're scoring touchdowns.
Well, and one other thing that I want to touch on what you just said is, in years past, I have wanted an Alabama offense to take a shot from the 30, the 32, the 34.
Sure.
And I think we have seen it more with this year's ball club than any other Saban-coached Alabama team. And maybe it's the confidence he has in McCarron and the arm that McCarron has. But I guess that's the other thing, is that we are not going to have as many red zone chances, because I think we're going to take some strikes from 30 yards out that other teams were not able to do on
that. We'll just bypass the red zone. And I think that's fair. And we have seen more of that. And, you know, and we've kind of broken down, is that a function of the confidence of McCarron? Yes. Is it a function in the suspect, you know, 40-plus yard kicking game? Yes, it's that too. And so if we can stay out of the red zone, you know, and just kind of fly the red zone, I think we will.
Oh, sure. Anything else you got before we flip the field?
Yeah, we didn't prep for this, but who is your Alabama player to watch on offense?
Player to watch on offense? I'm going to have to give that to...
Now, this is not mini game ball, so we don't have to be, you know, sort of nuanced here. This is across the board, player to watch on offense.
I think the player for me in this game is going to be Christian Jones. Because I think Amari Cooper, I mean, Notre Dame is a well-coached team, and they have done a lot to get this far with what they have. And so I think that with the time to prepare, there's going to be some double bracketing and on Amari Cooper. And I think Amari Cooper might see coverages in this ball game he has not seen all year that's going to frustrate him early as a true freshman. And I think with the loss of Kenny Bell, we're going to need Christian Jones to step up and make some big plays into rounds or slants or dragging across the middle or something like that.
Okay. No, I think that's that's a good pick. He could be the speed guy, so to speak, that replaces the Kenny Bell down the field and maybe on some of those speed screen or speed slants. So speed crosses. So I think that's a good pick. I think that, and I so want to say Barrett and Chance, and I think they're definitely guys to watch. But I think in terms of, you know, a player that's going to have a big day, that's going to put up numbers as sort of measurables, I think is T.J. Yeldon. I think that it's going to be a introduction, if you will, to the speed of the SEC.
Okay, that's fair.
All right. Why don't we come back and flip the field, talk about Alabama's defense against Notre Dame's offense. You up for that?
Sounds good.
All right. This has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be back for more national championship pregame show.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.